Welcome to Newest, Latest, Best, the quick daily show to keep you in the know with all the newest information, latest releases, and the very best that games have to offer. I'm Jeff Cannata, and today is Wednesday, August 23rd, 2017. The Crew 2, which is Ubisoft's big open-world racing game that allows you to race a whole bunch of different kinds of vehicles, cars and motorcycles and off-road vehicles, and also boats and aeroplanes, all in the same shared universe, has a release date. Ubisoft announced the game will be coming out March 16th on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And if you pre-order any version, you get to play 3 days earlier on March 13th. It'll have your three different editions, Standard, Deluxe, and Gold. Deluxe Edition's price is $70, includes all of the stuff from the Basic Edition, plus more cars, monster trucks, planes, and three character outfits. And then the Gold Edition includes a season pass for DLC for the game, both of the packs in the previous two editions, and will retail for $100 and comes with a steel book. Who doesn't love a steel book? I was impressed with what they showed of this at E3 this year, but I have to admit I'm a little skeptical of doing such disparate types of racing all in an excellent way, all in the same game. It's very difficult to do any one of those things well, as we've seen multiple games with boat racing be hard and airplane racing be hard, let alone the very packed motorsports racing field. So I'm a little skeptical that you can get them all right, all in one big open world, but it's an ambitious idea and it looks very cool. So if you're excited for The Crew 2, it's coming March 16th. We talk a lot about digital card games on Newest, Latest, Best because they seem to be the new hotness. Everybody's got one, and the ones that are out are generally pretty darn good, and one of those pretty darn good ones is Gwent. If you played The Witcher 3, you probably played a few games of Gwent, but the standalone Gwent, I would argue, is even more fun, more interesting, more robust. It's a collectible digital card game, and now it's getting even more interesting now that developer CD Projekt Red has announced there will be a single-player story mode. So the story will take players on a journey through the Witcher world, as you might expect. Comes with its own story quests and story battles, and they are designed to twist the game's rules in, quote, wildly unexpected ways. Sounds pretty cool. It's called Thronebreaker, and will also include some other gameplay elements, such as resource gathering. Thronebreaker will be released on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One later this year, but we don't have a more concrete release date than that. I can say there really isn't a developer that does more to increase the longevity of their games or support their games and add new content to their games more than CD Projekt Red, and I'm glad that Gwent is getting that treatment as well. Evidently, Gwent is doing very, very well. There's a big $85,000 prize pool tournament going on with Gwent. I really like it a lot, I have to say. I play it every now and again. I should play more of it. It's really good and very different than Hearthstone or any other trading card game, any other digital CCG. It's very good, and I'm very excited to try the story campaign. I think that's a really cool addition to a very excellent game. Speaking of continuing to support games with extra content and DLC, a season pass has been announced for Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle. And it sounds like that DLC will consist of three different staggered releases, eight unique steampunk weapons that will be available at the launch of the game, each with its own statistics, and they will be exclusive to season pass owners. And then in the autumn, there will be a new challenge mode that you can play either solo or with a friend through additional co-op maps. Then in early 2018, new DLC story content. So those big three pieces of additional content will be what constitute the season pass. The season pass is available for Switch on August 29th for $9.99. And I got to admit, I'm tempted to pick this up. I'm very excited for Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle. Hopefully you were listening to NLB during E3 this year because I raved about my playtime with the game. I went to Ubisoft's booth several times to get more hands-on with it, which usually doesn't happen. Usually I'm just doing, you know, one-stop shopping for because there's so much to see, but I had to keep coming back and playing more. It's really fun. I'm a fan of XCOM and doing it in a whimsical way on the Switch. It's going to be my jam. Very, very excited for Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle, which comes out August 29th. In addition to Gamescom, this week is also QuakeCon. And there has been some interesting news right at the beginning of QuakeCon. Bethesda finally announced the release dates for their three big VR projects that they've been teasing for a couple of years now. And all three of them will hit this calendar year, which I'm very excited about. First will be Skyrim VR, which is the full port of Skyrim over to PlayStation VR. I played it at E3. I was a little disappointed, to be quite honest with you. Hopefully playing this on a controller will be more fun than it was playing it with the Move controllers, which I think are ill-suited to a game of Skyrim's robustness, I will say, its particular needs. They've still not mentioned that this is coming to any other platform other than PlayStation VR, but I'm holding out some hope of a Rift or Vive release. Chances are it won't be Oculus, because it sounds like Bethesda isn't really playing nice with Oculus at the moment. In fact, no mentions of any Oculus releases in any of these. But next up is Doom. Doom VFR, which stands for Virtual Effing Reality. That's coming out on December 1st for PlayStation VR and HTC Vive. Again, no Rift release mentioned, but at least I'll get to play it on my PC with all the settings cranked as high as I can with some excellent controllers on Vive. Although I think PlayStation VR probably would do well with this one because Doom is a much more simple interface. Doom VFR coming December 1st. And then the big one, Fallout 4 VR, is coming out December 12th for HTC Vive. Now, this one's interesting because there's no mention, again, obviously, of Oculus, but there's also no mention of PlayStation VR. And we've seen rumors that this is actually still coming to PlayStation VR, but they haven't mentioned it yet. And in fact, when HTC Vive tweeted out this release date and touted the fact that it was going to be exclusively on HTC Vive, they had to then tweet a follow-up that was a retraction. They said, quote, "We errantly used exclusive, but Fallout 4 VR is created by Bethesda Studios and they determine when and where. Coming to Vive 12/12. So I would think that that's a pretty strong indicator that it's also coming to PlayStation VR at some point. Maybe not exactly day and date 12/12, but I think it's a pretty safe bet that there's going to be a PlayStation VR version of Fallout 4 VR. Either way, I'm stoked to play all of these games again. I can't wait to see a game as big and sprawling as Bethesda makes inside VR. Having played Fallout 4 VR a number of times now at various events, I can tell you it translates pretty darn well, and I'm excited to get my face on these games. And hey, we've been talking about DLC a lot on this episode, so I wanted to bring up something else that was just announced for one of the games that I think really deserves to be in the Game of the Year discussion this year. I think it's probably going to be overshadowed a lot by these big, sprawling, epic games like Breath of the Wild and Horizon Zero Dawn and the Mario game that's coming out at the end of the year. There's a lot of contenders to the throne of Game of the Year, and deservedly so. These are amazing, amazing games. But Injustice 2 is an awesome achievement. I mean, it is really one of the best fighting games I've played in a long time, and it keeps getting better. They just announced new DLC today that includes three new fighters for the game and some cool surprises. First of all, the Black Manta, which is an awesome supervillain in the DC universe. But outside the DC universe, you get Mortal Kombat's Raiden. Obviously, NetherRealm, the guys behind Injustice 2, also make the Mortal Kombat games, so it's cool of them to bring over one of their mainstays into the DC fighting game, Injustice 2. And then also, right at the end of the trailer, Hellboy. Hellboy is going to be in the game. How much fun is that going to be to see Hellboy raising some havoc in that fighting game? Injustice 2, selling like gangbusters. It's doing really, really well. One of the highest selling games of the year. One of the best games of the year. One of the best looking, one of the best playing. Lots of deep, interesting content. I know a lot of people have some issues with the way that gear works in the game and loot boxes and all that stuff. But man, for me, it makes it more interesting to keep playing because I'm rewarded all the time. And I don't think Injustice 2 is going to find its way onto many Game of the Year nods just because the competition is so high this year, but it really should be in the conversation. It's an awesome game.